Aloha and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich, and happy Monday to you, Chris.
Happy Monday, Beth Ann. Looking at life in the surveillance society, and according to what I read in the paper yesterday, even our microwave ovens are spying on us.
Our appliances.
Is nothing safe, right?
Well, that's the question. You know, really, fundamentally, that is the question. Now, you probably best know Ben Wisner as Edward Snowden's attorney. The former NSA whistleblower's actions in 2013 brought both men into the national consciousness. We talked last with Ben Wisner in 2016 about where he saw the activities of the U.S. circumventing individual privacy. But at the nexus of civil liberties and national security, Ben Wisner has worked for 15 years. He is the director of the ACLU's Speech, Privacy, and Technology Project. He's in Honolulu this week for a set of talks and panel discussions in conjunction with the University of Hawaii Kennedy Theater production, Smile, You're Under Surveillance. Ben Wisner, welcome back to the program.
I'm glad to be here, Bethan.
When you and I last spoke 15 months ago, the outlook and expectations for U.S. policy were very, very different from what they have come to be since the last election. With the fatigue has also come, with some people, a sense of renewed activism. How much of that are you seeing as you talk around the U.S.?
A lot. I will say on election night, you may have heard or reported that for a brief moment, the website of the Canadian Migration Service froze because so many Americans were exploring leaving the country. What you may not know is that the next morning, the website of the ACLU briefly froze because so many people were looking for new ways to stay and fight. And this is just one metric. But since the election, the ACLU's membership has gone from under 500,000 to over 1.2 million. We've seen similar kinds of numbers for newspapers, the New York Times, for public radio, for Planned Parenthood. I think people are waking up again to the idea that democracy isn't something that we just inherit. It's something that we have to fight for in every generation, and it's going to require a different kind of active citizenship if we're going to be able to respond to the unique threat that Donald Trump poses.
The operative word there is active. For a lot of people who will willingly talk about something or even do some exploration of it to know a little bit more, that's one thing. But to get people actively engaged, which has been such an issue for so many states, and certainly in Hawaii come legislative session time, getting people to actively be involved, that's quite a different matter.
It is. I will say that the day after the inauguration, the women's marches across the country were probably the largest day of activism in the history of the United States. There were 4 million people in the streets. On the day that Trump's unconstitutional refugee ban took effect, we saw hundreds of thousands of people spontaneously going to airports with signs to welcome refugees and to push back. We're seeing calls to Congress at an unprecedented level. We're seeing people showing up at town halls to tell their legislators what they think about the idea of repealing universal health care. So I agree that it's always a challenge to get people to go from outrage to action. I think there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. What I hope that people will understand, though, is that even when we have victories in the courts, and so far we've had some very important victories in the courts in pushing back against the discrimination against refugees, that doesn't mean that we have the situation in hand. If you were in the streets, stay in the streets. The courts follow the people, and they operate in a political context. We'll be in federal court in Honolulu on Wednesday pushing back against Muslim ban 2.0. And if you protested the first one, don't be complacent. Don't think that the courts will take care of this for us. We're going to need to stay in the streets.
After we find out whatever happens on Wednesday, whatever it is, surely there will be other things coming down the pike. I mean, we still have 4 years to go in the presidency of Donald Trump, barring anything that would happen to short-circuit that. And for people who are working 2 and 3 jobs, particularly in Hawaii, trying to keep their heads above water, who feel the pressure, and it's not just unique to Hawaii, but in many other places where people feel that way, keeping them engaged is an issue, and also looking at how that engagement takes root. When you talk about staying in the streets, are there other things that you would call people to do that would be as effective as some of the things that we see when people do take to the streets?
I think the important concept here is for citizenship to be active, and that can take different forms. Obviously, not every person is going to do that with their own body by being in the street, but enough people will. Some people who have the financial means can do it by supporting civil society organizations like Planned Parenthood, like the ACLU, like their newspapers. Other people will do it in conversations between citizens and in encouraging people to vote. Still, half the country doesn't vote in our presidential election. So that word active will mean different things to different people based on their financial resources, based on their ability to put themselves individually at more risk. But there's something that everybody can do within their means.
In the divided America that we see now, as you view it, is there any hope for being able to reconcile some of those differences?
Well, obviously, when I look at public opinion polls and see that still more than 40% of Americans support a presidency that to me has been almost an unprecedented disaster, it's hard not to be disheartened by the gap that clearly exists in this country. And so, you know, my efforts have focused less on persuasion and more on mobilization over the last weeks. So much is on the line that even if we can't persuade those 45% of the people that the course they've chosen seems catastrophically wrong, it's very important that we defeat them, either in courts or in elections, until such time as, you know, perhaps we can have different kinds of political conversations in this country.
Does that mean that we're in for a divided America from this point on out?
Well, you know, let's not idealize the past. Political disputes were very bitter in the 18th century, in the 19th century, and throughout the 20th century. So, you know, there may be more unifying figures who can come along than a Donald Trump. But our democracy has always been fiercely contested, you know, issue by issue. Certainly for the immediate future, it's going to remain that way.
The issue that brought you to prominence, and certainly Edward Snowden, was the issue of surveillance. And now we talk a great deal about surveillance in ways that once might have seemed paranoia. How do we begin to move through that kind of threat when so many people pocket so many devices and we all talk to each other, we make jokes about, you know, you're earlier with Chris making a joke about our microwave spying on us, but the sense that we no longer have privacy?
Well, actually, I think in that sense, we're lucky that Edward Snowden came along when he did in 2013, because he warned us what would happen if these kinds of tools got into the hands of the wrong kind of person. And as a result of his warnings and the revelations through journalism, we actually had some important reforms. We made it more difficult for the NSA to do domestic surveillance. The use of encrypted devices and tools has gone up exponentially, and that's why you see in the latest CIA documents actually how difficult it is for the government to get around those kinds of encryption tools. They have to be more aggressive and more creative than ever. So I do think that we're better off than we would have been had a figure like Trump arrived somewhat earlier. And I think that people's consciousness has been raised. And that's always the most important first step. You hear people worried about and talking about surveillance, even if they don't know what to do in ways that you didn't a few years ago.
So at this point, when we have seen some of these documents that came through the Vault 7 release, and the idea that we know CIA is actively working to be able to crack some of these apps that people thought would give them some privacy. Are we really beginning to understand that, that perhaps there isn't some sort of safeguard that will allow us to have the privacy that we think that we should have?
Well, there is no absolute defense if the United States government decides to target you individually. But that's a different thing than saying that we should be hopeless because there is no help. Most of us have better security and better privacy than we did a few years ago because the major technology companies like Apple, like Google, like Yahoo have taken steps that make all of us safer and more secure. Again, the latest CIA documents relate much more to when the intelligence community decides to target an individual. I think if anything, we should be encouraged by the latest release because even though it shows them trying to penetrate our communications in more and more creative ways, that's because of how effective the encryption and privacy tools are that we're all using more and more.
We're going to have to leave it at that. But I thank you very much for coming back, and I look forward to our next conversation.
Thanks so much.
Ben Weisner is the director of the ACLU's Speech Privacy and Technology Project for the nearly 15 years. He's litigated numerous cases involving airport security policies, government watch lists, surveillance practices, targeted killing, and torture. Since July of 2013, he's been the principal legal advisor to NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden. The UH Kennedy Theater production Smile, You're Under Surveillance will feature pre-show talks and panel appearances by civil rights lawyers and performance studies scholars with expertise in surveillance. Ben Weisner will give a pre-talk show, probably a pre-show talk on Friday at 6:30 and appear on a panel on Saturday at 6 p.m.